coming up here on the spur of the moment, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles with me today, I have a few comments I want. And I'm going to tell you right now, this message today is not a popular message because everybody wants a feel-good message. I want to feel good. How can you feel good when you're lost? You might think you feel good, but that's artificial feel good. You feel good when you're living for Jesus and you know you're going to heaven when you die. You got a mansion in glory. You know the Savior is the one that's died for you on Calvary and shed his blood. That's when you feel good. Amen. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 23. If you'll stand, if you're physically able, if you have your Bibles. This is my Bible. It's the infallible Word of God. It's my roadmap in life. And I will follow his instructions on my journey to heaven. And God's people say what?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites and the lost people here. And here's what he says in verse 33. He says a whole lot more up to this point. And I wish I had time to read it all. But if you want to go back to the beginning of this, it starts 23. You read that. Also, Mark has a part about it, and also Luke. Verse 33. Ye serpents. He's talking about snakes. You're a bunch of snakes. Ye generations of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Lord, thank you for today. Lord, just give me the words to say. If there's someone here, Lord, that needs to hear this message, Lord, guide my lips. Let me be your messenger, Lord. And I'll praise you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. You know, everybody does want a feel-good message. See, the Lord Jesus in this chapter is talking to all the ones that probably want the feel-good stuff, but not living good or living right. See, many times we think hell is just a figment of our imagination. We don't really think about hell as being real. Hell is real, folks. And listen, just like heaven is real. And listen, I'm telling you now, you believe what God's Word said or you don't believe what it says. And you know, Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven. So that tells me that something he needs to warn us from is the way we live our life. We need to live our life with Lord Jesus Christ and not live our life abomination to God. You know, hell is a reality to those who don't know Jesus as their personal Savior. Hell is a reality for those Christians who straddle the fence and never can decide which side they want to be on. Let me tell you something. As God's child, our testimony is always at stake. Everywhere we go, with our families, is at stake. We're in the marketplace, it's at stake. If they know you're a Christian, your testimony is always on trial from this world. Preacher Boom used to tell a story of years ago about a businessman who had to social drink to keep his business going. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to do that. Amen. You don't have to conform to the world to get business. But anyway, his daughter was in there, and so he told his daughter, he had caught her nipping in the alcohol, and so he got her in there one day and said, listen, I mean, you're going to drink all this then. I'm going to sit here while you did it. So he made her drink all the whatever it was, which was alcohol, which he was drinking in front of her anyway. Listen, you want to ruin your testimony with your children? You start doing things like that. You start cussing in front of your children or acting a fool. Your kids know if you're real or not. Amen. And he took the preacher in there and he said, I want to show you something. He took her in the bedroom. He said, this is what I created. His daughter was a stone cold drunk in the bed. She's been alcoholic ever since he did that to her that night. Listen, our testimony is always at stake. Listen, if we don't live right in front of our children, if we don't live right in front of our neighbors, if we don't live right in front of the people around us, why do you want to come to church and say it like you're all glorious day? Our testimony is something we cannot. It's just like your character. You've got to protect that testimony no matter what you do. Even in the workplace. Somebody was telling me this morning about a person that came into work, said he's going to be a deacon in his church and cussed every other word. I said, well, what? He said, what church do you go to? Yeah, I hope it ain't Peace. I said, listen, that's the reason our testimony is so important about how we live, especially the deacons and the preachers here. You know, we had to guard our testimony because it's not only a reflection on God, it's a reflection on God's church. It gives people a wrong idea. Let me tell you something. You can shout the victory on Sunday, but if you don't live it on Monday, you waste your time on Sunday. Amen. You need to live it. You may shout the victory on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all the way around. Right. If you had planned the trip, you would find out what accommodations were before you got to your vacation spot, wouldn't you? But see, folks who are lost, think about vacation time and they may kick up their heels and party a little bit, have a big old time, and I was no different. When Libby and I, now Libby's never drank, she never cussed. Now she might have thought a couple of them were around me sometime, but she did. She never brought it out. But Libby's always been a godly woman. I was an ungodly husband and an ungodly father. I was a good father. I was just ungodly. I was lost, and I taught my kids were torn which way they wanted to go. The gospel, Libby's gospel music, or my rock and roll music. See, but God changed all that around. One day in my living room when I got on my knees, and it was old glorious day when I got up. Amen. See, thank you, Jesus. But when we used to go on vacation, this is my vacation, and listen, I'm not bragging on this. I'm telling you where God brought me from. I'd have to have me a bottle of booze in my trunk of my car, and I'd have to stop on the way and have me a little nip driving down the road with my kids in the car. You know, and by the time I got to Myrtle Beach, where I was going, I was already about smashed. I had to go to the liquor store the first thing. That grocery store and the liquor store where I had to go. Listen, I don't even have to worry about them things no more. Because the red dot's not even in my mind anymore. The red is the blood that's in my mind anymore. But not all unsaved folks do those things. We're all on a journey, folks. We're all on a journey right now, and our journey is going to end one day in eternity. Heaven or hell? Amen. I want to talk to you today about some things you'll not find in hell. Things you'll not find in hell. One day we're all going to die. One day we're all going to face eternity. And if you're unsaved or you're lost, you will scream and cry forever in the regions of hell. Do you realize that there are some things that are missing in hell today? When you think about a church, these things that aren't in hell just might make us think twice about rejecting the call of God on your life. How many times have you sat in a church service and God spoke to your heart, you know, I need to do this. I need to get right with this. I need to get this unconfessed sin out of my life. But you just kept rejecting the call. Well, I'm hoping what I tell you today, the next invitation song might motivate you to do it right and get it right with God. Turn your life around and go into the right direction while there's still time to do so. And also, if you're here today and you're straddling the fence, you're not sure exactly where you want to stand with God today, I hope I can change your mind today and let you know. There are six things that I want to mention today that are missing in hell. And the first one is, my blessed Redeemer will be missing in hell. Jesus Christ will not be in hell. You know, most of us think it's heaven, it's streaks of gold and walls of jasper and the gates of pearl, and what makes heaven for me is the presence of Jesus Christ, the one that died for me on Calvary. Amen. And listen, I want to see Jesus face to face. I want to see His nail-scarred hands, what He's done for me, even though He don't have to prove nothing to me. He don't owe me nothing. I owe it all to Him. And I want to see the nail-scarred hands, and I want to see what He went through for me. And I want to just bow to His feet and praise Him. That's what heaven is for me. And I'm not going to be missing none of that stuff in hell when I'm in glory. But see, all that's not going to be in hell. My Redeemer's not going to be in hell. That's one thing that's going to be missing. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 tells us, and the city had no need of the sun. Hey, I'm talking about a city that don't even have to have the sun to shine. It said, neither nor the moon. So I'm talking about my glorious city that I'm going to one of these days. Doesn't have a sun, doesn't even have a moon. The Bible says, and the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine for it. For the glory of God did lighten in the Lamb and the light thereof. So the only thing when you get the glory, listen, it's going to be the the glory from Jesus Christ shining above all of us. Well, we need no sun. You don't have to have no suntan lotion. Amen. You don't have to worry about ultraviolet rays burning your skin up. You're going to have a new body there. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is all the light we need, folks. We don't need any more light. But you know what? If you hear unsaved today, in hell, Jesus will not be there. The blessed Redeemer is not going to be there. And at the same time, the darkness is just going to be in hell. Home of the devil. And as demons, as recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew tells us, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Listen, one thing's going to be missing in hell is my blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you something else going to be missing in hell. The redeemed loved ones that we knew on here on earth are going to be missing in hell. The ones that go on before us. Let me tell you something. When you get to hell, you're going to be around the worst company you can imagine. Young folks, you better listen to this. Murderers, adulterers, dopers, drunkards, prostitutes, rapists, and every other evil and vile, debased things you can imagine that was never washed in the blood. And I'm not saying a doper or a drunk couldn't get saved, but I'm talking about the ones that didn't get saved. They've never been washed in the blood. And there's going to be a lot of Christian people, so-called Christian people in hell too, that never was saved. You know, there's people in church all their lives and never got on their knees and said, God, please forgive me. I'm a lost sinner and I need you to save me. And die and go to hell from a church pew. That's a bad, bad scenario. Our redeemed loved ones will be missing in hell because they reject the call of Jesus Christ in their life. And if you're here today and God has spoken to your life and you never have made a move, you keep rejecting and keep rejecting it. One of these days, the Bible says every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. Listen, and all them loved ones that pray, let me tell you this. You know, listen, that old saint of a grandma used to pray for you and cook you breakfast and cook you them good biscuits every Sunday and that you loved more than anything, life itself, and your grandma was your idol, good godly woman that prayed. She won't be in hell, for she'll be in glory. Yeah. Or that praying mother that loved you more than anything, brought you into this world, and you know she's in glory. She's going to be in glory. You're going to be in hell if you're not saved. That loved one that you love so dearly on this earth is not going to be in hell. They're going to be in glory. Or maybe that godly father that led you the right way and walked the right line and prayed every night with you and prayed over the food and did what he's supposed to do and took you to church and took you to Sunday school. He'll be missing in hell. Or maybe that loving Sunday school teacher that really taught you the word. All the Bible stories about the burning bush and how David killed Goliath and all those things that you remember when you was a kid, and that Sunday school teacher taught you all that. But you have lost and you've gotten away from God. You're not living like you should. That person is not going to be in hell for you to talk to. And all those you held close to your heart as a child and when you grew up, not going to be in heaven. They're not going to be in hell for you. The ones who told you about the love of Christ and live godly each day while you are watching, they will not be in hell. Those who are saved will be with Christ. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I want not. For I am in a strait between two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Let me tell you something. The blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, will not be in hell, and those blessed redeemed ones that loved you and prayed for you all your life will not be in hell either. Those precious loved ones who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb will not be in hell. And then also, the relief will be missing in hell. Torment in hell is both day and night. Do you realize that? Forever and ever. We can't even comprehend forever and ever. forever and ever. Us about 89 years. We live 89, 85 years. We've done a lot. We really got some plus years, I would say. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 tells us, and the devil that deceived them, and let me tell you something, Satan is the best deceiver that ever walked around. The Bible says he's the God of this earth. But I'm going to tell you right now, he has deceived so many people about church and living right. Well, I can't come to church until I quit drinking. I can't come to church till I do this. Listen, you need to come to church because you're lost. You need to come to church because you love the Lord and you serve him. There's no reason you should not come to church. Whatever your valley is today, God can bring, he is the lily of the valley. Listen, when there's nothing else glowing, he will glow in your life. But there will be no relief in hell. You'll be missing. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. God's word tells us in Mark chapter 3, verse 29, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Let me tell you something. You know, when you keep rejecting God's call in your life, you're saying, there ain't no God. God ain't speaking to me. That's just a figment of my imagination. When you know good and well God's speaking to you, you need to get it right. You've got unhidden sin in your life, you need to get down. You need to confess that sin. Let me tell you, I remember when Dealer was here and her husband was on his deathbed. She said, Ray, do you have any unconfessed sin in your life? He said, yes, I do. And we don't know what it was, but he confessed it, and God healed him. Listen, you can't have an unclean vessel. And with the unclean vessel, there is no relief. And in hell, there's no relief. We can't imagine what it would be like to have fire around us eternally, or with no relief from the flames or its effect. Or maybe it's not a little fire. Maybe it's just heat. I don't know what it is, but I don't plan on being there to find out. Amen. There will be no redeemer in hell. There will be no redeemed loved ones gone before you in hell. And there will be no relief in hell. You ever had a headache and you just couldn't get rid of it? Like, oh, I can't. That's nothing. That's not even a pulled hair compared to what you'll find in hell. Let me tell you something else. Number four, refreshment will be missing in hell. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 tells us there's a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Listen, we think we've got it all figured out. I was talking to somebody yesterday, bless God, and the man told me, he said, you know, my way didn't work. I said, well, thank you, Jesus, my way didn't work either. Every time I tried to do things my way, it went the other way. Until I surrendered and gave it to Jesus Christ, my way turned into his way, and that was the right way, and I'm on my way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember in the book of Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus? And the Bible says the rich man had a lot of food. He was eating sumptuous, and Lazarus was laying out there at the side of the gate trying to get a little few little crumbs from his table. And the Bible even says that the dogs came and licked his sores. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? But they died. The Bible says the rich man went to Abraham's bosom. I mean, the Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, the rich man went to hell. But let me tell you something. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. The rich man went to hell because he was lost. And I don't care how rich or poor you are, if you're lost, you're lost. God does not distinguish between rich and poor. He distinguishes where he sees the blood or he doesn't. Amen. And when he got down there, in verse 24 of chapter 16, the rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Listen, isn't that something? It's too late to find it out after the fact. Man, you know, listen, refreshment. There won't be any refreshments in hell. I can tell you now. Let me say this. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was lost. I mean, rich, he went because he was lost. You remember when you've been out and exercising and you get hot and sweaty and you know, first thing you want is a cool drink of water. Amen. There's nothing better than a good cool drink of water. This rich man just wanted one little bitty drop to cool his tongue. Listen, some things missing in hell, the Redeemer won't be there. Amen. Those old lost love, the ones loved, the redeemed ones that gone on before you, your Christian mom and your Christian daddy, those redeemed loved ones that taught you about Jesus, they won't be there. There will be no relief in heaven. There will be no refreshments. No relief in hell. There will be no refreshments in hell. I'm talking about forever. And then the riches will be missing in hell. You know about the rich man that told his wife, I'm taking all my money with me. When I go to heaven, I'm taking my money with me. He said, I want you to put it in the attic. When I die, I'm going by there and grab it and take it with me on to heaven. When he finally died, she ran up to there and the money was still there. She said, I knew I should have put it in the basement. Listen, I may not have a lot of things down here below and not a lot of earthly riches, but one of these days I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I'm going to have a mansion that my master has went and prepared for me. If not, he would have told me so. And I don't know how big it is. I used to say if I could just get inside the gate, it'd be enough for me. I was going to grab a hold of Debbie's skirt tail and go on with her. But see, it didn't work that way. That was Satan trying to trick me there. Listen, all Satan did was ruin my life because I let him have it. Amen. Listen, if Satan's not bothering you, then you need to go back and reevaluate where you are. Because listen, if he's not bothering you today or not tempting you today, and listen, let me tell you this. I don't care what the temptation is. The Bible tells us there's no temptation given to man that he will not give you a way to get out of it. He'll give you a way to escape of it. There won't be no riches over there. I'll see the glory of God reflected off in walls of jasper. And listen, I'm laying up my treasures in heaven. There's my retirement plan right there. Up in glory. There's my retirement plan. There's my 401k. Okay, there it comes. Jesus, whatever you got for me up there. Praise the Lord. We have an inheritance reserved in heaven. All we have to do is just keep a retirement plan fixed in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 tells us, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Listen, you need to put your faith in glory. Listen, there won't be any riches in hell. You're not going to have all those good times in hell. It's going to be torment. I remember the woman, Miss Boomer used to sing, I got a mansion. I got a mansion just over the hilltop in that fair land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder I'll nevermore wander on streets paved with pure gold. I got a mansion just over the hilltop in that fair land. Listen, you can be rich in God or you can be rich toward God, even in this life, here and now. Hell is a place of absolute poverty. And then there'll be no rescue. Rescue will be missing in hell. See, no one that ever goes to hell ever gets out. Amen? That's called eternal judgment. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2, Paul tells us, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Satan will trick you as he's tricked thousands and millions of people from years before, making them think there's no heaven or hell. And I'm telling you right now, we have a real hell and real heaven. And once you're in hell, my friend, there is no escape. It's forever. See, Satan blinds the minds of the lost people. And the world has so much for the young people today that even more so when I was a teenager. It's so much harder on them. I mean, there's sex in toothpaste commercials. And our young people are accustomed to that. And it's only going to get worse until Jesus comes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us, Paul tells us, "For I know nothing of by myself, yet am I not hereby justified? But he that judgeth me is the Lord." Amen. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church here, and he tells them, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" What he's saying is, don't you know that people are not living right or unsaved or not going to go to heaven? Can't you understand that? Then he goes on to say, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, or revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And that covers about all of it. And I'm not saying we got a bunch of extortioners here. But if you're lost, you're just as lost as that person is. If you're not living right, you're lost. And hell is made for those kind of people. Hell is for real, folks, believe it or not. Let me tell you some things that are going to be found in hell. Pain. Suffering. Anguish. Gnashing of teeth, heat, wailing, screaming, crying, tears, regrets, memories. You're going to regret every time that you rejected God's call in your life. You walked out of this door, of this church or a church unsaved. You're going to have memories of how many times you've seen people come to an altar and get right with God, and you're sitting back there making fun of God saying, "There ain't no God, I'm just rejecting the call." But let me tell you something. Those memories will haunt you forever and ever. Because you'll be thinking, "All I had to do was make one step. And I regret I didn't do that." I don't think there's a person in this church today that would say, "Yeah, I want to go to hell, preacher." But I do think there are some people here today that aren't sure where they stand with God. But even though you're unsure where you stand with God, you really don't worry about dying or worry about eternity, because it's something that happens to other people. Well, I'll use Louis as a prime example. Louis lived a pretty rough life all his life. Good man. Got up with a smile on his face every morning. Maybe it's because he didn't have a woman there with him all the time. I don't know if that was. I didn't mean that. But he started coming to church, and you know, and he would say to me many times, said, "Chuck, I really appreciate you and what you've done." I said, "Listen, brother, I haven't done anything. He did it. I just allowed him. I opened up, and you know, when he spoke to my heart, I opened up and said, 'Jesus, I need you now.'" When I was in my living room that day and I did that, I meant business. Because I only had the other way to go. And I sure didn't want to go that way. And Louis would come to church and he'd sit there and God would speak to him every time. The Holy Ghost conviction come upon him so hard sometimes. He'd say, "I don't know why I don't do it." He said, "God speaks to me every day." Then when he came down with this rare form of thyroid cancer, that's life-threatening. Young people, wake up out there. This is church. This is, you can sleep when you get home. Wake up and listen to what I have to say, because this is serious business. He said, "I don't know why I never always rejected the call." And that day I said, "Louis, would you like to make it right now?" He was speaking to the hospital. He said, "Yes, I would." And he gets up the other night and stands and says, "I'd rather live 6 months saved than 50 years lost." Isn't that something? That's a new man in Christ right there. And Louis didn't want to go to hell. He never did want to go. And you don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you something. The things you love most will not be in hell. So why take the chance? This is your chance, Libby. Would you come? This is your chance. All jokes aside, maybe this is your last chance. Well, preacher, I can't live it. I can't do this. I got to do that. You can find every excuse not to do it. You ever ask, if you get down and ask God to take those things away from me that's keeping you from living right, and listen, God will remove that. I don't care what, if you've got an obstacle in front of you that's keeping you from doing, being all you can be for Jesus Christ and His kingdom, He will move it if you'll ask Him and trust Him to do so. But you can't play around with it, be on and off, hot and cold. God's Word said He doesn't like lukewarm people. He'll spew you out. Just like you don't like lukewarm coffee, God hates lukewarm Christians. You either be on fire or your light's out. Listen, there's going to be a lot of things in hell that's not going to be there that you're going to miss if you go there. But there's going to be some things there that you know it's going to be hard. It's going to be pain, suffering, anguish, gnashing of teeth, wailing, screaming, crying, tears, regrets, memories, all those things. But there's a lot in glory. That is just one thing in glory overrides everything in hell. Some things missing in hell should be you and me. Because the price is already paid. It's free. All you have to do is just accept it. Young people, if you're not living like you should, this is a chance for you to get it right. I remember the other week when Libby had the kids out here and they had a bonfire out here, and a lot of these young people gave their testimonies and said they were going to live for the Lord, and I believe they mean that. They have so much temptation. But let me tell you something. It's not only young people. God has no respect for a person. You know, none of us have a promise of another minute. You need to get it right now. If God has spoken to your heart for some form today by something, you need it. When we stand at the minute, do not hesitate. Step in that aisle, come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to give it to you once and for all. Hell is just right around the corner for many people. But heaven is also. It's there waiting for you. Sometime, one day. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for loving us, Lord, and sending your son to die on Calvary. I thank you, Lord, for giving me a desire to live for you, instilling that in my heart one day in my living room. And it's no news. We've all heard it. But, Lord, I'll never forget it, what you did for me. I ask you if you just touch someone's heart this morning, draw them to an altar of repentance, and let them realize they're going to miss hell because of the blood of your son that they accept as their Savior. And God, I praise you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please?
Page 275.
Would you come?
Just as.